Matthew chapter 5, as we continue on our study on the red letters, as we go continue on looking at the words of Christ and what he says. And it's interesting because a lot of people will you know, talk in the name of Christ and yet not even looking at what he has actually said. It's interesting because this morning as we transition, we talk about last week that we are salt and light, we are left here. Right? We could, when we give our lives to Christ, he could have taken us home right then and there. But he left us here. Why? Because we are to be salt and light. We are left here to be a testimony. You know, a lot of people won't read the Bible. And they'll read us. Right? And we are the testimony of what God can do to share his love and grace. You know, the idea of the church is that we're some private club that only the elite get to join. No. That we're a hospital for the broken. A reprieve for the sinners as we come to him and cast ourselves down on his mercy, and he saves us and keeps us. And I can't imagine going through this world without him. Especially with all that's going now, knowing that God, you are in control. And it's interesting, we started talking about the idea of who God is, right? And a couple of things, because a lot of people have ideas of yes, who God is. A lot of people say, well, God is love. And you know what? God is love, right? He defines love. That he loved us so much that he gave his son to die for us. Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus came and died for us. That's how much he loves you. Never doubt his love. But it's interesting because people want to say, well, because God is love, that he loves everything I do. That's not true. And that doesn't even just kind of hold, you know, the sort of the smell test. As parents, right? Many of you have children. I love my child, right? I would give my life for my child. Does that mean I like everything my child does? Oh, no. Right? It depends on the age and the stage, right? Sometimes, yeah. I always said, that's why God made kids so cute when they sleep. Yeah? Have you noticed that? Yeah? I mean, during the day, the little horns will come up, and, you know, it's like, no. I both my girls, I think by the time they were 3 years old, they thought their middle name was No. Right? You know, Brittany, No. Lauren, No. Right? Yeah, I remember at one point, I don't know which one it was. One of my daughters looked at my wife, and she's like, don't do that. And, you know, they were going through that why stage. Why? And so she said, why? Because mom said so? It's like, yeah, exactly, right? You know, you've heard that so many times. But then they sleep, and they look so cute. Like, oh. But God is love. But God defines what that love is. And because of love, doesn't excuse what we do. But people love to say that God is love. God's gracious, and God is gracious. God pours out his grace on us. He gives us things that we do not deserve. This morning we could probably fill the whole time with testimonies of God's goodness towards us when I don't deserve it. Right? I like grace. I like surprises. I check the mail every day. Actually, I don't. I often send my daughter to go check the mail every day. And she'll come up with, a stack of stuff from the mailbox. And I ask her, I said, is there any money in there? And I'm yet to have her say yes. Right? My daughter likes getting mail because when she gets mail, it's cards and invites and all that. You know, when you get a certain age, all there is junk mail and people wanting to extend your car warranty and right? It's just, or political, right? I mean, when was the last time you actually got something good in the mail? And they're getting sneaky. My wife got a card the other day. I was like, wow, look at this. Someone sent her a card. And it came and is handwritten, you know, her name and address and all that. She opened it up. It was from the bank trying to accept. I'm like, there's this guy. It's like camouflage letters now. I mean, I don't think someone actually wrote it. It was probably some computer somewhere who can now look like, you know. It's like they're getting sneaky. Yeah, but I like getting things I don't deserve. couple weeks ago, I came up here and I looked down when I was preaching, and I'll tell you, good thing I'm a trained professional, because it'd be hard. I sat down and there was a loaf of bread sitting right here, a homemade loaf of bread. And I had to actually keep preaching and act like it wasn't there, but the whole time I'm like, I'm hungry. And I think that was the week you went home early. I don't know. It was like, you know, I like getting things that I don't deserve. Amen? I mean, God is gracious and he pours out his grace upon us and gives us good things that we don't deserve. God is merciful. And grace is getting things that you don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding what I deserve. You know, and I like mercy. You know, I know it's never happened to you, but I know someone who may have been pulled over by a police officer at one point in time. Hypothetically speaking. And it may have been right outside the church that he was pastoring. And you talk about embarrassing. I was running late in the morning, someone was doing this. And I was at the blue lights come on. I was like 100 feet, or the person was 100 feet from the parking lot of the church. And I almost made it. And the, you know, and so it's real bad because they take their time. And meanwhile, I'm like, hurry up, because the people from the church were starting to arrive. And I had some explaining to do, right? They're like, ah. But after all that, he gave that person a warning and said, you know, just be careful. He thought the humiliation was enough. And I was thankful for not getting that ticket. I like mercy. And we talk about God is merciful. You know, so many times in my life, if I had to suffer the consequences for everything I've done, wow. And that's where I need to be gracious and merciful to other people, because God has been merciful to me. And we like these qualities of God. It's interesting, you talk to people who believe in God or want to believe in God. This is the God they want. They want the love, gracious and merciful God. And they're like, woohoo, I like all this. But that is half the picture of who God is. The Bible tells us God is holy. The holiness of God. That means there is no sin in God. And God can't have sin in his presence. His standard is the perfect standard. God is holy. And I don't like that because I'm imperfect. Anytime we see in the scriptures where man is faced with God, they fall down. And I think of Isaiah's. It says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? I'm a sinner. And we look in the perfectness of God and we all fall short of his glory. God's holy. The Bible says God is just. Right? We talk about the idea of justice today, and we want to demand justice. And God is the righteous judge who looks at our sin. The Bible says the wages of our sin is what? Death. Right? If God is just, he has to give me what I deserve, and that is the punishment for my sin. You know, I want to be great on a curve. I want to be judged according to those people around me. But God doesn't do that. He holds up himself as that standard. And we fall short. The Bible says God is righteous. God will do the right thing. Always. And sometimes that scares me because I know what I deserve. I know who I am. And I want God to make the exception for me. And so we look at the whole picture that we have a loving, gracious, merciful God who is also holy, just, and righteous. That who is God. And how do these two correspond to me? As a sinner. As you look at God, like I said, people will say, oh, I want the gracious, I want the love, I want this, and I want to deny. But we got to take God for who he is. All of him. And so Jesus picks this up in Matthew chapter 5. And he starts sharing here. He says, look, do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And just real quick on a side note, the jot and tittle is in the Hebrew are these little symbols. It'd be kind of the equivalent to, like, you know, every comma and every apostrophe won't fade away, right? It's down to the smallest detail of God's word will be fulfilled. That's what he's talking about here. But it's interesting, as Jesus starts off, because often people have the reputation of Jesus with a loving, gracious, and merciful God. But we got to realize Jesus is also the God who is holy, just, and righteous. And so when Jesus comes on the scene and he starts preaching, he starts off saying, look, you know that law, and if we want to take it from the Ten Commandments, if we want to go through even beyond that, with all the laws that are written down throughout Scripture, all these standards that are laid out, Jesus says, look, I am coming to get rid of them. I know about you, but I don't like rules and regulations. In our house, we used to play Uno. You ever play Uno? And it's funny, because you go to some other person's house, and they have different rules. Y'all have house rules. And I don't like it when, you know, you're going along and we're playing and my wife will say, you can't do that. Well, why not? We've been married now for 33 years and I'll still pull out. Well, when I was growing up at home, this was our house rules, right? And she goes, no, you can't do that. That's not the rules. And so somewhere we got to find the rules. You ever done that? Playing a game you've played for years and all of a sudden you're digging up the rules because someone has called you on it. And 9 times out of 10, I am wrong. It's like, oh, right? Rules and regulations and standards. Because when you start taking my life and comparing to those things, I fall short. And I want to get rid of those things. And there's a call today. I cringe because I don't understand some of the logic of this. You have cities say, you know what, crime is up. And so let's fix this. By now we're going to take things that were illegal and not make them illegal anymore. And therefore crime goes down. We're not arresting people because now it's not a crime anymore. I'm like, does that even make sense? You know? And yet we see this progression because there's a resistance to right and wrong. There's a resistance of standards. And people approach God thinking, hey, Jesus, you're going to demolish, you're going to get rid of the standard. And Jesus starts off his ministry with really shocking terms. He turns around and says, look, I'm not coming here to get rid of the law. But I've come to fulfill it. Because you realize, folks, that the law, first of all, is perfect. You know, I'll just use the Ten Commandments. I worked with a gentleman, and he knew I was going to school to become a pastor. And so we had some really interesting theological discussions. And he turned around and said, you know what? I have my own religion worked out with God. I always thought that was interesting. I said, really? You and God have a personal agreement of what? He goes, yeah. He goes, if I just follow the Ten Commandments, I'm okay. I said, okay. I said, well, the Bible says you shouldn't lie. How are you doing on that? Well, I've told, you know, a few. Okay, so now we're down to 9. Right? And we went through a few things. That, you know, by the time we were done, we were down to like 5.5. And he goes, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Because I told him, I said, look, your own standard was, look, all I got to do is be good enough. All I got to do is do more good than bad. All I have to do is follow the law. Well, even by his own standard, he fell short because none of us could do it. And so, like I said, our human tendency is, look, if I don't like a law or I don't like a rule, I'll just throw it out and make my own. Because there must be something wrong with the standard. I mean, several years ago, doing a test for the fire department, I think it was New York City. And people weren't passing the tests. And so they said, oh, there must be something wrong with the test. And so they're now going to lower the standard. And I don't know about you, but I want a qualified person to come rescue me in a fire. I don't want the guy that got in because the standards were lowered. Right? I don't want the airline pilot. There's talk a couple years ago about changing the standard for airline pilots. Oh, no. I want the good ones. I don't want this, the... you know? What was the commercial? It said, are you a doctor? He said, well, no, I stayed at Holiday Inn Express. I don't want that guy. You know? I no offense. But no. Because the standard is good. Isn't it? And we look at the standard of God. It's His standard and His rules. It is good. It is perfect. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about this in the book of Romans. He says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The law is, that says thou shalt not commit adultery. I think as a husband, I think that's a good standard. When we turn around and says, love your Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Those are good standards we have in there. This law is perfect. David, one of the things that made David so great was his love for the law. It says, look, this really summarizes David's thoughts here in Psalm 119. He says, oh, how I love your law. In it I meditate all the day. Right? I love you, Lord. And because I love you, I want to read about you. I want to know about you. I want to please you. And how do I do that? By the law. He says elsewhere in Psalms, talking about the man of God, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The law is perfect. The standard is pure. The problem isn't the rule. You know what the problem is? The problem is me. I know you're surprised that I'm the problem. Well, look in the mirror, because you're kind of the problem too. Because Jesus goes on and says, therefore, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, right? He talks about, look, I can't get rid of the law, but I've come to fulfill it. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If we break one of them. See, the problem is, the rule is no wiggle room. Now, there's fair season is coming up. I don't know if you guys, Bangor had their fair. Skowhegan just had their fair. We usually go up to the Blue Hill Fair, and I think that one's still going on. If anyone knows when that is, let me know. Is it Labor Day? Because we want to go. And I want to see the Demolition Derby. In the last 30 years, I always wanted to go see the Demolition Derby and always miss it. We went to Skowhegan, and there was a thunderstorm and lightning, and they canceled it for some reason because they didn't want anyone sitting on the big metal thing with lightning. Like, really? We went to Blue Hill, and have you ever been to Blue Hill? They have a small grandstand, and you can't see the Derby unless you're in the grandstand. And that filled up, and so we were turned away. It felt like Joseph. There's no room in the inn, and he sent us away. Something always happens. So one of these days, I suppose I can just go down here with the construction and watch some crashes down here, but that's not the same. But in here, right? I remember as a kid going up, and they had the Gravitron. Does anyone know what the Gravitron is? You go up, and it spins you around, and it pushes you against the wall, and the floor drops out. And I remember as a kid, I wanted to go on. It just sounded cool, the Gravitron, right? And we're going up, and the fair, they have that little line that says you got to be this tall to ride. And I would go up and try to, and I was like this short. And the guy was like, sorry, right?
I'm like, oh, come on. It's only...
So I walked around a little bit. I have no idea what this is going to look like. We'll find out how good that hairspray and mousse is. But, you know, so I puffed it all up and came up to the line, and I was still just... And so the guy's like, get out of here, kid, you know. So I had to wait till change of shift, until someone else in there. So I, you know, so, you know, I was like, well, I'll just loosen my shoe a little bit and try to... And it wouldn't let me on the ride because I didn't match the line! See, that's what the law does. It's static. That line didn't care how good I was. The line didn't care how old I was. The line was the line. If I didn't match that line, I fell short. The Bible says we all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. Well, wait a minute. Can't you just move the line? No, nothing wrong with the line. I just didn't match up to it. Does that make sense? The line was perfect. The law is perfect. The problem is I can't match up to it. And Jesus says, look, you break one. Actually, James goes even further than this. James chapter 2 says this, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of what? It all. The law stands or falls on all points. And if I break one of it, I'm guilty of all of them. Whoa, that's a tough standard. It's an all or nothing. All or nothing. Coming out of high school, I came this close to signing up for the Air Force. I wanted to fly a fighter jet. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I remember sitting down with a recruiter from the Air Force. You know, I had military family. My dad was in the Army, and he told me, go Air Force. I had an uncle who was in the Navy. He told me, go Air Force. Right, I have an uncle that was in the Marines. He said, go Marines, because that's all they can say. There is no other force. It's like, I'm like, all right. And I remember sitting down with a recruiter, and at that point, there was overabundance of people applying, and everyone wanted to fly jets, and I don't know, because of the Top Gun or what the whole issue was. But he goes, in order for you to be in this program, I had to sign up for 14 years. And I was like, ooh. He goes, plus, we only take the top, I think it was 15%. He goes, so just so you're clear, that if any point you're not in the top 15% of your class, he goes, you're still signed up for 14 years, but then we can make you do whatever we want. I got pretty good grades, but I was not that confident that I would be able to pull off the top 50% of everything. And I didn't like the idea when he says, then for 14 years, we can do whatever we want with you. I didn't like the sound of that. And so I said, I can't sign this. There's nothing wrong with the program. The problem was I would not always match up. One low grade, one missed paper, one anything would disqualify me. The law is like that. As I look at the God's perfect law, as I look at the Ten Commandments and continuing on, other commands of God, those things are perfect. The problem is it condemns me because I'm not perfect. I'm not even good. And Jesus starts off his ministry. I find it interesting. He starts off, and actually the next couple weeks, Jesus actually takes the law and says, you know, here's what the law says, and I'm even umping it. I'm bringing it up even harder. And there's a reason for that. Romans chapter 3 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Right? I can't be saved by the law because I can't keep the law. The law is okay. The problem's me. You know, I talk to a lot of people and say, you know, when you stand before God, you know, why are they going to let you in heaven? And they'll say, well, because the good I've done outweighs the bad. That's not the standard. The question is, have you kept God's law perfectly? Well, I've done pretty good. Well, pretty good doesn't cut it. And that's why The case is, none of us can be justified by the law. And actually what the law does is show me my shortcomings. I don't know if any of you guys have, a couple of years ago we had a GPS in our car, and now it all displays it in your car. How many of you guys have a little smart screen? I hate that thing. Because going down the road, I have two ladies in my car who at any moment can look at how fast I'm going. And I get comments. Right? Does anyone else? The speed limit is 25. Yeah. You're not going 25. Actually, when we just had the GPS unit, we got in the car once, and I took the GPS down. And we got in the car, my wife's like, where's the GPS? It fell off. She goes, I'm not stupid. I know why you took that off. Right? Because that little thing's a little narc. It tells on you. 1 mile an hour over, it's telling on you. Oh. I come home, and I'm notorious for being a little bit late. I tell my wife, I'll be home by 1. And the good old days, everyone's watch was a little different. So I pull in the dooryard, and I would be able to take my watch and just go, turn it back just a few minutes. I say, honey, my watch says I'm on time. I don't know what the problem is. But now everyone has phones and all synchronized. They're all tied up to satellites. So you're 1 second late, they know. Everyone knows. The law does that to us. It shows us our imperfections, that we can't do it. We can't earn it. And we see this drive today is throwing out God's standards. And that's not the way to go. Romans 3 continues on. It says that every mouth may be stopped. I'm just going to stop there because basically no one is going to be without excuse. The law, what it does is draw the line, and I have no excuse before God. And it says loud and clear, there's none righteous, no, not one. And Jesus, like I said, goes on, and we're going to look at that in the next couple of weeks. He actually takes... Look, it's not even the act of adultery. Now, do you have lust in your heart? The Bible says that, you should not murder. Well, I've never killed anyone, but Jesus raises the bar and says, well, have you hated someone? Jesus ramps it up. It was like, wait a minute, I was feeling bad before. Now I really feel bad. And that's the point. Because the law goes through that holiness of God demands not that we act holy. It's not how we behave. It's not the front we put on, but that we are holy. Where is our heart? And my heart is wicked. I've shared with you guys before, I grew up watching superheroes. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to read people's mind? I've changed my mind. As I've gotten older, I know what comes out of people's mouths. I don't want to know what's in your head. I don't want to know how you guys are like, is he done yet? I don't want to know that. You're thinking about meatloaf right now. I don't want to know that. Because the heart is wicked. Jesus takes this and even goes even further. So for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will no means enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus kind of throws on the gauntlet and he says, look, those religious leaders and the Pharisees were known for being so pious and being so holy. These were the super religious people of their day. And they judged and looked down on everyone else like sinners like us. Right? And today we have a lot of religious people who are saying, you know what? I'll just be good enough. I'll just obey this law and I've never cussed and I've never killed and I've never done. And they get so pious and so filled with themselves saying, look at me, I'm the standard. And they're not. God's the standard, and they all fall short. But Jesus warns us, look, unless your righteousness exceeds those righteous religious people, you can't go to heaven. Well, wait a minute, who can? And this is the interesting thing, because what the law is, it's perfect, and it condemns, but that leads us to the good news, because once I realize I can't do it, then I need God. Right? The law becomes my school teacher, teaching me I can't do it. Right? John, how dare I become so pious and so arrogant and thinking I'm all of that? Because I'm not. How do I know? Because I look at the law and I fall short. I can't do it. Then what hope is there? And that's where all these things lead to. That it's not works of righteousness that we have done, but it's all by faith in Jesus Christ. Because way back, remember we said that Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. Jesus is good enough. Jesus is the only one, when compared to the standard of the law, who is good enough. Galatians tells us this, it's therefore the law was our tutor, or was our teacher, to bring us to who? Christ. That we might be justified by faith. Not by the works, but by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. At this point, you know what? I look at God's standard, and I know I fall short. And what that does is drive me to my knees and say, Lord, I'm not good enough, but you are. That you died on the cross for my sins. And now when I do that, he forgives me, right? God's holiness meets God's love. Not because I'm good enough, but because he is, and he died for me. Book of Romans goes on and says this, for that the law could, what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, right? I can't be good enough. I can't keep the law. I can't do it. The law is weak in that. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, we live in a day and age where a lot of people are selling their houses or remortgaging. And a good example of this, as you've come to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, you pay off my mortgage. You know what? I have a check at home. I'll write you a check. And I'll pay off your mortgage. Yeah, that's right. You know what? It's worthless. I have my own bills. I have my own things to take care of. I can't even pay my own, let alone pay yours, right? And so what God did is he came and he fulfilled. Jesus, who owed nothing, paid it all. And because of that, sin no longer has a hold on me. You know, I can walk up to that line and say, you got to be this high to be on the ride, and I am falling short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what grace does, Jesus says, come here. And I run to him, he takes me, he puts me on his shoulders. And he's tall enough. And because he can go, I'm with him, I can go. Does that make sense? I am freed from the law. I don't have to be good enough because he is. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. It's not that I am good enough, but it's that he is. Praise God for that. And now because of this in my life, I want to please him. Right? I still obey the law. I still try to do it because the law is good. And because he is good, I want to please him and do. I use it as an illustration. I had an opportunity to use this, you know, a week ago. There was a gentleman who married, or there was a lady who married a very abusive husband. And he came home one day and gave his wife this list of all the things he demanded of her. And it had to be perfect, and he'd go through the house and inspect everything on the list. And oftentimes he'd become violent and would hit her if she fell short of even one thing. She's married him for a while, and he ended up passing away, and she met this wonderful man, and she married him. And she loved him, and they had a wonderful marriage and had kids and family. And one day she was going through some items, some boxes that she hadn't looked at for years, and in here she found the list that he had left from the first husband. And she looked at the list. She noticed that, you know what? I was doing everything that was on the list for my new husband. But it wasn't a burden. She wasn't fearful that if she fell short. She had this great liberty of love towards him. And because of that, she found herself doing the same thing the other was demanding of her. That's law and grace. Because I am free in Christ, because I'm not under the law, because he paid for that, but because I want to please him, I'm obedient to him. Because I love him, I want to serve him. And you know what? I'm going to fall short. And the law would crush you, but God's grace is sufficient for all our needs. James tells us this, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Lord, I still want to serve you. And I want to do things that's pleasing in your sight. And so as we go down this list, you know what? It's good that I don't commit adultery. It is good that I don't murder. It is good that I don't lie. All these things are good because I want to please him. But I'm not crushed by the law because I am going to fall short. But Jesus was good enough. He paid for it all. And I hope this morning, as we look into this, that first of all, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are under that load of the law. That's the standard. Let me tell you something, you're not going to meet it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that should do is bring you to Christ because he paid for your debt. If you're here this morning, you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks, you are free. But serve him because you love him. He deserves that and so much more. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is perfect. The problem is me. But we thank you for Jesus Christ who died to pay that gap, to pay that price. If we will accept you and give our lives to you, Lord, we are accepted in the beloved. Lord, you are good enough. And we are in you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your sacrifice that paid for your holiness and your justice and your righteousness. Lord Jesus, you are it all. And we thank you for it, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.